So welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. I'm just getting over head colds. I did leave it a day later before I recorded this just to see was my voice any better. I had to keep clearing my throat yesterday, so apologies if that happens on this episode. So just before I jump into this week's topic, just wanted to do an update on my calorie deficit. So I am weighing in at 56.5. And today is the 24th of March, and I finish up between the 10th and the 14th of April. The 14th of April is when I head off to Australia and the Philippines for 3 weeks. So it will be a few days before then. So I reckon I'll get down into maybe the low 55s. And that's kind of what my target weight was anyway. I explained on another podcast that that's usually the weight that I'm at. When that's usually the weight that I suppose I need to get to if I want to kind of see like really good body composition. And what I mean by that is that my muscles pop and stuff, because when you do carry a few kilos, and most of the time I do sit around like 60 to 61 kg for most of the year, I'm not showing off much skin, so I don't really kind of care about like muscle definition. But if I want my muscles to kind of pop and just look more toned and contoured, that's what this is. This whole deficit, it's body recomposition. I have to get down to a bit of a lower body fat percentage just so those muscles can shine through. Because when they are covered with a layer of fat, although you're still going to have your strength and you're still going to be strong and you're still going to look in shape, but when you just trim down a bit, did you just look even more prominent? And yeah, I'm going away a couple of times over the summer, so I just want to get that summer body in check. What I do as well is I don't throw out any of my summer clothes. So, well, when I say summer clothes, I mean holiday clothes. Like I used to always buy a new wardrobe whenever I went away. But now what I do is I just throw them into a black bag, put them at the top of my wardrobe or in my attic. Like my denim shorts, my swimwear and stuff, dresses, etc., stuff that I only wear on holiday. And because I was training for the marathon last year, I was around like 62 kg when I was going to Australia last year. I went to Thailand as well, so I was fitting into my size 10 while I was going abroad. It wasn't a time to be like trimming down, recomping, etc. When I was training for a marathon, I just didn't have that luxury. I needed the energy to train, etc. For those long runs, so I had to just swallow my ego there. But it was fine. I still looked great while I was going away, and I was very happy with it. Obviously, when I came back from Australia over those 3 weeks, I gained like 6 pounds from all the eating and drinking. So I went into a deficit once I was home. But I'm usually a size 10 for most of the year, but I do keep shorts in. I think like since my photo shoot, my fitness photo shoot was in the summer of 2024. That was the first time I think I was ever a size E. Now I did say, I got down to a point at my fitness photo shoot where I was too lean, so I did obviously want to put on a bit of weight again. So I think 55, 56 kg is like the perfect sweet spot for that summer body. But I reckon this summer, this time when I go away, I will fit into those size A shorts. So I'm glad that I kept them and I didn't throw them out, because I probably would have to go out and buy new holiday clothes, because a size 10 would just be too big on me. Now, in saying that, probably by the end of the summer I'll be fitting back into my size 10, and that's okay because it'd be nearly winter time then and I'll be covering up. But yeah, I'm 56.5. I'm doing great, and honestly, I kind of am just feeling a bit. I have that kind of like diet fatigue where I'm like, right, I actually can't wait for this to be over. And I know some people are like, would you not just stop now? And I'm like, well, no, I want to see this through. Like I have my own coach, Adam, who coached me through my fitness photo shoot, and we agreed this was the timeline, this was the target weight, etc. And I feel if I stop now, not that I'm gonna like go off the rails, but I just know it's gonna keep me accountable up until when I go away, and then I can enjoy myself. Then I can enjoy a few margaritas, strawberry daiquiris, and kind of eat what I want while I'm away. Yeah, so it's 3 more weeks. I mean, I might as well keep going and see can I just get that little bit, those few more pounds off me until I get to 55 kg. But what was happening last week was the scale was stalling and it was like stuck around mid 57s. And it was a bit frustrating, especially because, I've been really, really by the book with the deficit. The more deficits that I do over the years, the easier they get. It's just like putting on a different hat, and I understand the scale. I know when something's lingering or something's stalling, like there's a very, very logical explanation for it. It's not because I'm lacking activity or I'm overeating, etc. Like there's definitely a reason for it. So what happened was there was a few days where it was stalling at 57 kg up until like 57.5. So like, what the hell is going on here? And then I ended up going to the toilet after 3 or 4 days. And I know people are going to be like, that's not normal that you didn't go after 3 or 4 days. When you are in like the depths of a calorie deficit, it actually is quite normal because number one, you're not taking in as much food as you would be when you're at maintenance. So you are going to be going to the toilet less frequently because you're taking in less food, therefore less waste. But constipation can also be I suppose a trait of someone who's deep into a calorie deficit, or at the I suppose ready to kind of finish up with a deficit because I've been in it for so long. But it's just our body's way of saying like, hey, like it's been a while since you've gone up to maintenance. Are you sure you're eating enough food? Are you sure you're getting enough water? Like that's why we're constipated here. So sometimes it can just be a signal to like increase your water intake, increase leafy greens and stuff like that around meal times. Also, walking a lot and exercise can increase your bowel movements too. But I ended up going to the toilet anyway after like 3 days, and lo and behold, the scale dropped down to like 56 0.8, and then yesterday, the day before, 56.5. So there was something going on in the background all along. The scale was dropping all along. However, not going to the toilet for 3 or 4 days was masking that because shit weighs something, okay? When your dog is going to the toilet in the park and you pick it up and you put it into a bag, that weighs something, and that's what's sitting in your digestive tract, in your bowel. And if you haven't gone for like 3 days, that's going to be piling up there, excuse the pun. And then when you go, suddenly there's been a load dropped and you're going to weigh that little bit less, okay? It's not body fat. That's not the reason the scale is stalling. There's always a logical explanation. And I knew that drop was going to come. I said, something is not adding up here. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, but look, it's going to sort itself out in a few days. And old me many years ago would have just thrown the towel in. This is stupid. This is not working. What's the point going to the gym? What's the point of doing my cardio today? This is not working. But I persevered and I kept doing what I was supposed to be doing. And also, I'm still only doing 45 minutes of cardio 4 days a week. Like I started off in week one. I'm in week 11 or 12 now. I can't really think. I don't know whether you can hear that rain in the background. Jesus, it's biblical. But I actually had to pause the podcast there in case it was picking up the rain. It was torrential. But yeah, I'm still only doing 4 45-minute sessions of cardio. Started off doing 40 minutes, so it's only increased by 5 minutes. I'm eating 1600 calories on a training day and 1500 calories on a rest day. 150 grams of protein as well, so it's a lot. So I'm never hungry, I'm just always full. And usually when people go into a calorie deficit without the guidance of a coach, like let's just say they're copying off their friend Mary. Number one is they haven't built a base of muscle to start with, okay? So if they lose body fat rapidly, a lot of people on GLP-1s as well who lose body fat rapidly, what can happen is they can start to look malnourished, all right? Because they've no muscle tissue underneath the surface. So when they do drop all the body fat, like myself now, I have something to show underneath. I have a base of muscle. I look toned. I have composition, but someone who drops body fat rapidly with no protein, no training in their diet, they are going to look malnourished. Okay, so that's why I encourage you to train so you have shape on your body, eat protein. So when you are training, you're building muscle and you have something to show for underneath it. But I have been doing two leg days. I've been doing a full body day and I've been doing a push day. So push day is anything to do on my shoulders, my triceps, and what else? Yeah, just arms in general on my shoulders. And then full body, I do a bit of back, a bit of chest and glutes and hamstrings. And then my leg day, I do a lot of work on my quads. I wanted to bring them up, especially after my injury as well, in the marathon. I wanted to make my legs stronger. Not that I'm looking to run a marathon again. But that was probably a weak point for me, and that's probably what didn't, or should I say, maybe provoked the injury. So yeah, I've been doing a lot of work on my quads, my hamstrings as well, my adductors, which is your inner thigh muscles, and my abductors, which they're like the muscles on the outside of your bum. So like, not behind you, on the side of you, on the side of you, like your hips. Sorry, I'm just explaining that in layman's terms. I do know my terminology, but yeah, that's what I've been doing. Leg pressing as well on those days, and then single leg exercises as well. And one thing, in fairness, now I haven't been kind of great with, well, I'm not going to use the word great, and I'll tell you why. It's one thing I've kind of changed my mind on. Most days I'm only getting about 7 to 8 thousand steps. Like, I haven't been hitting my 10K. Okay, so 10K is kind of like a marketing tool, all right? Like, do your 10,000 steps, etc. Like, it's a nice round even number, and you know, on average, depending on what you weigh, you know, like someone who's 80 kg would probably burn a lot more calories doing 10,000 steps than someone who's 60 kg, because you're carrying around more weight. Your body's going to burn more energy if you're carrying around more weight, as opposed to if you dropped 20 kg. Now you're 60 kg, you wouldn't be burning as many calories then, because it's like your body's not carrying around a 20 kg dumbbell anymore, you know. So for me, I probably only burn about 250 calories to 300 calories if I did 10,000 steps, but someone who might be 20 kg heavier than me could be burning 500 to 600. So, you know, walking is a great place to start if you are someone who is overweight. And that's why you should be walking anyway, all right? Like, if you're, it does help in terms of you being able to eat more. Because if I was a sedentary person and I just sat in my hole all day and I just went to the gym and pushed weights and did my cardio, like, I'd be missing out on maybe 200 to 300 calories that I could be burning on a daily basis. Okay. And you know, over the course of 7 days, 7 300s, that's 2,100 calories that I'd be up if I wasn't walking. Okay. So now I'm down 2,100 calories just from walking, just going out in the sunshine. The weather has picked up lately. Excuse the rain, obviously, in the background today aside. The weather's picked up, the sun is out, and you know, it's always a great time of year to go out and get your steps when the sun is out. The summer is just around the corner as well. But I haven't been too hard on myself in terms of steps. So if I only get 7,000, I'm like, right, I'm not gonna beat myself up. What, I didn't burn an extra 50 calories today? Like, it's not as if I'm stepping on stage. It's not as if I'm standing in front of a camera for another photo shoot. I am very happy with my composition so far. And, you know, if I drop another 2 or 3 pounds, great. If I only drop another 2 pounds, so be it. I suppose the first half of this deficit, I was kind of a bit more strict, I suppose, with the steps. And I was kind of up around the 9, 10K mark. But yeah, I don't beat myself up over it. And if I miss a gym session, I don't beat myself up over it either. If I miss a cardio session, I don't beat myself up over it. It doesn't happen that often, and that's why I don't beat myself up over it. Because I have clients checking in with me every week, whether it's one-on-one or, you know, clients that are on my 8 week challenge, and they're like, I couldn't get to the gym today. Really, really sorry. And you know, I'm not watching their every move. Like, I look at their check-in sheet once a week. I'm not checking them every day to make sure they're ticking boxes. Like, they're grown adults and I trust that they're following the plan. And I find out, you know, every week then when we're doing the check-in, how they got on. But if they miss a gym session and they've been like really, really consistent the last few weeks, I'm like, look, relax, it's okay. Especially, say, for example, clients who might be studying at night, you know, they could be doing a college course and that's their priority at the moment. Sometimes there are bigger things than fat loss. And if you didn't commit to a bodybuilding competition where you're going to stand on stage and compete for a trophy and you have to be absolutely ripped and you have to track every single grain of rice, or you're standing in front of a camera and you want to look absolutely ripped and, you know, it's a huge, huge goal that you have for yourself. If you miss a gym session, it's not detrimental. But also, if you are as far into your, you know, your, I suppose, your wellness journey, we should say, like, you know, when I actually started changing my lifestyle many years ago, like, I've built the base of muscle. If anything, I'm only adding to it now. So if I miss a gym session, or if I go a few days without hitting my protein target because I could be away, or it's just been a nightmare of a few days and I've just kind of eaten on the fly, I have built up leverage to the point where, okay, she's been working her ass off these last few years. Like, she's in the gym 4 to 5 days a week. She's hitting her protein most days as well. Like, she's hitting 7 to 10,000 steps. Is it detrimental if she misses a gym session, or if she doesn't go walking one day, which is something I'm going to get to next, actually. if I miss, steps, etc., whatever, gym session, cardio session, I don't beat myself up over, because it always matters what you do most of the time. It's very similar to if you're living a shit lifestyle, you sit in your hole all day, you don't exercise, God forbid someone said you want to walk to the destination rather than get the bus. Like, I used to laugh at people who would suggest that to me, like, absolutely not, I'm not walking, because a body in motion stays in motion. A body that's not in motion won't stay in motion, won't want to be in motion, If you're in the habit of never walking, walking will seem horrific to you. Okay, so yeah, I have massively changed, over the years. And one thing I have noticed, especially this time around, is because I have ADHD, I can get very, very overwhelmed. Okay, if I have to tick a lot of boxes, not just with my exercise routine and my food, if I'm in a deficit, like, it is very time consuming being in a deficit. But one thing I've started to be a bit more lenient on myself with is, obviously, I work outside of being a coach as well. I do loads of other things, and content, and going to meetings, and having to hit deadlines, and performing on the weekend and stuff like that, and staying in shape. Like, it does keep me sane, because if I wasn't doing this, I would just lie in bed all day and I'd be like paralyzed, because I'd just be too overwhelmed. Like, it's like fight or flight with ADHD sometimes. It's like, whoa, you have way too much to do today. So, it's just gonna make you feel safer. Just stay in bed and don't do fucking anything. Like, that's the way it can feel sometimes. So exercise does help you produce more dopamine. Which is like a happy, that happy feeling, like that buzz you get when you receive good news, or when you can start to see yourself changing in the mirror and stuff like that. That's dopamine, or when you think about hitting a goal, like a transformation goal, when you visualize yourself on the beach like a stone lighter, that fuzzy feeling that you get inside, like, that's dopamine, but we kind of lack that. We don't produce the same amount that a normal person would, like a neurotypical person. So exercise actually helps that. Like, you're dreading going into the workout, but you actually feel great afterwards. But one thing I've been doing that actually helps that kind of like overwhelming feeling or like burnout is I've actually been taking a full day off from even walking, going to the gym, doing cardio, like a full day where I probably only get 1,000 steps in, and that's just from, getting from A to B, like the car to the shop or something. And what I do is it's like plugging myself into the wall and recharging myself, and it just helps so much. It really does. It's like, today you're not going to put any pressure on yourself, okay? You're not going to put any pressure on yourself to get your 10K steps done, to get your cardio done, to get a gym session done, to do this, to do that. And what it does is it allows me to kind of like sit back, maybe do some admin work on my laptop, maybe make a piece of content or something like that, and there's just nothing hanging over me that day in terms of like exercise. You have to do this, you have to do that, because I'm in a position where I've gotten to a place where I'm not overweight anymore. I don't have to, hit a certain goal, etc. Now, I know I'm striving for 55 kg, but that's like a strategic thing. But if I had to suddenly stop my deficit today, like, I wouldn't be pissed off. I wouldn't feel like, oh God, I still have a massive mountain to climb. I'm going away in 3 weeks. What the fuck? Like, I would still be happy with my composition today if I was to go, if I was to go away tomorrow, But because I still have 3 weeks, I'm just going to keep going anyway. But because I have built up so much time, we should say, spent in the gym, spent walking, spent building muscle tissue, spent on the Stairmaster, I can afford to take a day off and it's not going to be detrimental, but you can too, all right? Because what can happen sometimes is that people put so much pressure on themselves that if they do happen to take a day off, maybe it's a day that you're going to devote to studying. Maybe it's a day that you're going to devote to catching up on housework. Maybe it's a day you're going to devote to just spending with your kids and just switching off from exercise, etc. Because I know we do live in a world where it's constantly being thrown at us. You have to be doing this, you have to be doing that, you have to be doing your 10,000 steps. It's okay to take a day off. Now, when I take a day off, does that mean I'm sitting around eating Domino's pizza, eating sheer-sized chocolate bars? No, like, I'll still be in my calorie deficit. I'll still be eating my typical food, etc. I'll still be hitting my protein target, but it just allows me to recharge mentally. Okay, so I'm still in my deficit, and even if I was at maintenance, I'd probably do it as well. In fairness, there doesn't be that much pressure on my shoulders when I'm in maintenance, because I'm not striving for fat loss, so it's not like I have to tick boxes constantly. Oh, I have to get my steps done, I have to stay in my deficit, I have to, tick a lot of boxes in order for the scale to drop. Okay, I have to be consistent. But that's one thing that has been key over the last few weeks, and it really has helped me recharge mentally because I'm like, right, I'm after getting all the admin stuff done, I'm after replying to all those emails and those WhatsApp that I haven't replied to. And you just feel less overwhelmed then going into the week, because what can happen is when you're putting pressure on yourself to tick all these boxes in terms of movement, etc., your own work outside of, health and fitness can start to suffer. Like, oh God, I need to get back to that email. What's more important today? Getting back to this email that's going to generate me income, or hitting my 10,000 steps? And it's like, right, in the long run, I'm going to need to be paying bills, so I need to get back to this email. I need to follow up with this, So I actually just dedicate a day, and it's not the same every weekend or every week. Some weeks it's a Monday, usually is a Monday, to be fair. Other weeks it could be a Wednesday, but I allow myself one day where I just don't do anything. And that's coming from someone who's been through a lot in terms of transformations, fitness photo shoots, marathons, etc. like that. It's okay to give yourself a day off, all right? It is, as long as you're staying in your deficit on that day, of course, it's okay, all right? Now, my own coach probably kill me if he hears this, but it's just something that helps me personally, okay? It's not something that I'm going to be telling you to do. No, you have to take a day off. Like, if you feel you're fine and you can manage with the 7 days being switched on, moving, doing your 10K steps, that's okay. And I'd encourage you to do that as well. But someone who would have ADHD like myself can face burnout a lot when they're just doing too much too often, and that day off does help me recharge. So that's just something I've changed my mind on. And that was kind of like the purpose of this episode, just something I've changed my mind on. Whereas, like maybe last year I would have been a lot harder on myself if I was training for the marathon. If I missed like a training session, I would have thought to myself, oh, I'm striving for this time goal for this race. Like, if I miss this training session, like, it does keep you accountable when you do have a goal. Like, if you have a time goal or something like that, it does help you put the shoes on and get out into, nature or the park or something like that and get the run done. Rather than just saying, oh, I just want to take part in the marathon just to say I've done it. You're not really going to put that much pressure on yourself to go out and train. Oh, well, I'm not doing it for a time, so I don't really need to be that strict. But when you give yourself like a window, like, I want to do it between 4 hours and 5 hours, you know that you have to train to be able to kind of hit that window. Otherwise, you'll end up finishing it, maybe an hour later than you had intended, So having a goal like that did help. But I think now, having that day off, with training or not beating myself up, etc., when you've built up the miles, not even just with running, but in general, building up all the gym sessions over the years, the walking, etc., the cardio, you can afford to take a day off, okay? As long as you stay in your deficit. Because I'm quite confident with the systems and the routines that I've built over the years of living this lifestyle. I wouldn't even call it a new lifestyle anymore, because it is who I am now. Whereas when I was starting out, it was a whole new lifestyle and it took time to adapt to. Now, if I was only starting out, I wouldn't be taking days off. Why? Because I've just spent years taking fucking days off and not doing anything, and that's just gonna encourage me to slip back into old habits. So I can afford to kind of take a day off from things now because I've built up the miles, I'm not gonna go back to old habits because I've taken a day off. If anything, it's something now that I can do. I can take the foot off the gas and relax now for a day, because I know I can bounce straight back to things, bounce straight back to routine the next day. Helps me recharge. Whereas, like, it's very similar to someone who starts a company, okay, and they're doing everything by themselves, and it's very, very stressful, and it's hard, and it's tough to adjust to. It affects family life, probably affects, their health as well. And then what happens is when they actually start earning enough money and their business starts booming, they can hire people to do some of the jobs that they've been doing over the last few years that's been stressing them out. And it gives them back time then to devote to their family or their health, etc. So that's the stage that I'm at now, where, I'm very, very ha happy with my composition, and I know I have the luxury now of being able to take a day off, and it's not going to affect my progress as long as I stay in a calorie deficit. If I am striving for fat loss and if I'm just maintaining my weight, that's okay too. And look, listen, if I go away on a weekend and I'm eating pizza and having a few drinks, or, I'm obviously going away in a few weeks and I'll be away for 3 weeks, That's okay because that's only a few weeks out of 52 weeks. Okay. Most of the year, I am going to the gym and get my steps in. I am, because it's a lifestyle to me, it's like brushing my teeth, you know. But when you are starting out, taking days off and stuff like that does just enable the bad habits to slip back in, you know. So I would say try be as consistent and disciplined as possible at the start of your transformation journey until you get to a place where you're very, very happy with your progress. You know, you're delighted with how you're starting to look, your body shape is starting to change. You're like a new person, you jump out of bed in the morning, you've more energy, you're more productive, and that's all because you decided to just eat better food, move more, you know, put your mental health first. When you get to that stage, you can also afford to take a day off from now. Look, I don't train 7 days a week where I'm like, right, I have to take a day off now. I'm just talking in terms of steps, okay? In terms of just like moving for a long period each day, and just putting that pressure on yourself to tick boxes, etc. I am just at that place now, and you will if you keep it up long enough to the point where you don't recognize yourself when you look in the mirror, okay? And now people are coming to you for advice. And you have a lot of confidence in yourself that if you do go on a weekend away, you can bounce back into routine. You know, if you've been sick for a week or so like that, you can eventually start weaning yourself back into your training program. If you've had a day where you went off the rails, like someone was home from, I don't know, Australia or something like that, or someone's birthday, it's someone's 24, someone's 60, etc. And you have a big blowout, that's one day, okay? It's one day out of 365, and you're probably going to have more of them throughout the year. But I always say this, and I need to get it put on my gravestone: it matters what we do most of the time, not some of the time. But when we're starting out, try be consistent and as disciplined as possible, because that's what's going to rewire your brain. All right, if you start taking days off because Enya said I'm allowed to, no, you've been taking days off your whole life, okay? Now you're starting to change. Now you are someone who goes to the gym maybe 3 days a week, or does a home workout 3 to 4 days a week. You're walking daily. You know, you have to rewire your brain and do stuff that makes you feel uncomfortable or feels like you're going against all you, because when you do something enough, your brain starts to recognize it as a habit, and it's like, okay, she's doing this a lot now. But when you're stop starting, stop starting, stop starting, your brain won't pick it up as a habit because it's not happened as frequent, and it's not consistent. So your brain's not going to register that as a new habit, okay? But when you remain consistent despite how you feel, despite what's going on in your life, and you remain disciplined as well, your brain's like, okay, she's doing this a lot, and your body starts going into autopilot. I always mention on the podcast that I constantly have to do U-turns at the roundabout outside my estate because I'm so programmed into going to the gym in my car that if I go the opposite direction, or if I plan to go the opposite direction, my body will just naturally drift towards the gym. So I have to keep doing U-turns. I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to be going to the shopping centre. Why am I driving towards the gym? So that's down to habit, you know. Or when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is you check your phone. That's a habit, okay? So you want to get to a stage in your life where going to the gym is not something that you have to do, it's something that you want to do, okay? Now I know brushing your teeth can be a pain in the hole, okay? But you know what we have that keeps us accountable? It's if I don't brush my teeth, they will rot. And we don't want that. We don't want to be going around with black teeth, okay? Now I know we have the luxury of talking all this day and age, but you don't want to get to a point where you've neglected them on purpose just because you know talk is around the corner, okay? But you want to get to a place where you're like, you know what, if I keep slipping and sliding and skipping gym sessions and overeating, you know, enough, what's going to happen is I'm going to start going down a bad road again, you know, and I'm going to start to slip back into old me, and we don't want that, okay? Because remember, if you do something consistent enough and frequent enough, your brain starts to pick it up as a habit, okay? So yeah, that was today's podcast, just something I've changed my mind on during this deficit. And you know, I'll probably carry it with me as well outside a calorie deficit, even when I'm just maintaining my weight, because it does help me recharge. Just a day of doing absolutely nothing. I didn't know how much I needed it until I started implementing it. And it does help me mentally, and it helps me feel more productive the next day as well, you know. So yeah, thanks for tuning in. And my 8 week challenge does start on the 6th of April. Early bird spots open up on the 27th of March. So you will be given a workout plan, home or gym. You'll be given a meal plan that caters to your dietary requirements. You'll also be given your calorie and macro requirements sorry, calories and macros build around that meal plan. And they are tailored to your height, weight, and age. Okay, it's not a one size fits all. You'll get a written check-in from me once a week too, and there'll be a weekly Zoom call as well, over the 8 weeks, educating you around fitness and nutrition. Also, that's my favorite part of the challenge, because you actually get to teach people, these skills, these tools that they can carry with them for the rest of their lives. But if you're on my mailing list, you will receive that early board link. The special offer will be available for 48 hours before it goes back up to full price. Early board's £169.99, full price is €200. So make sure you're on my mailing list. The link is actually on my Instagram page, just underneath my profile picture. And yeah, it starts the 6th of April. I'm obviously aware that I will be in Australia and the Philippines for 3 weeks of the 8 week challenge, but I will be bringing my laptop with me, and I will be down a couple of hours while I'm on holiday as well, with work, etc. Look, just because I am on holiday doesn't mean my clients are on holiday, and I will put some time aside while I'm abroad. Obviously not at night time when I will be going out for food and stuff like that, but I can spare a couple of hours during the day getting out of the sun, which is obviously good for the skin, to devote to my clients who are also on their transformation journey and they need attention as well. So don't worry, the 8 week challenge is still going ahead as normal. But in terms of the Zoom calls, just because of the time difference, I probably will have to pre-record two or three videos, around obviously fitness and nutrition topics, just due to the time difference, because I'll have to get up at all hours of the night to do that call, and I'm sharing a room with my friend, so that's obviously not going to be ideal. But that's going to be the only kind of difference, between a normal challenge. But yeah, it'd be ideal for anyone who may have a holiday coming up in the summertime and do want to drop maybe like 8 to 12 pounds by early June. Or they just want to start chipping away at their physique and just change for the better. It's remember, it's when you change yourself, it's not for the short term, it's for the long term, and it takes time. Usually when people just lose weight for a holiday in the beginning, obviously I'm trimming down for a holiday, but I've years of experience under my belt. What happens is they come back from the holiday and they just bounce back to old habits. Okay, so what you'll learn from this 8 week challenge is how to maintain your progress. All right, I don't use drastic approaches where you drop a lot of body fat very quickly, and then what happens is when you finish the challenge and go back into the real world, you'll put it all back on. That's not going to be one of these challenges, okay? But yeah, I'm going to shut up now. But if you do want to sign up, keep an eye on your inbox. I'll be sending out those emails on the 27th of March. Thanks for listening.